Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Veronica LaBarry. She describes herself as a mystic, prophet, visionary, spiritual teacher and a writer, and she runs a non-profit organisation for teaching education for spiritual living called LaBarry Retreats. Welcome to the programme, Veronica.
Thank you, Mike.
Perhaps you could start at the very beginning here and just tell us what led you into this type of life.
Well, it started very young. I was born on the island of Trinidad in the West Indies. My mother had 17 children on that island.
Gosh.
And I came in number 12.
Yes.
So from a very early age, I recognized that there was something quite different about my mother. She was the spiritual teacher. And so, in looking at her, I knew there was something more to life than what my body's eyes were showing me.
Yes.
And so, as most of us do, you grow up, you're expanding, you're evolving. And there came a time where the illusion was very disillusioned.
Yes.
And so it was truly time to pay attention to the nudging and the needling and the murmurings that were going on the inside. And that was the beginning, almost over 20 years ago, that drove me to look within.
Yes.
And discover that there was a different approach to life. And so based on my commitment and my awakening, it's been an incredible earthly journey that is still continuing.
Mm-hmm.
And the passion and the joy is to support and assist others as they go through their own awakening and remember the truth of what we are. And that there is a different approach to life,
yes.
One that is truly purposeful, meaningful, rewarding, fulfilling, and very peaceful.
Yes. Were you brought up in a religious family as such?
Well, with 17 children, we were raised Catholic.
Yes.
But my mother being, as I said, the spiritual teacher,
yes.
As you grow, you begin to do your own internal investigating. And
did
so,
you find it difficult to move away from that early teaching in the church to a more, you might say, free will expression of what you thought?
Actually, no. Only because through my mother, I had a very strong, firm foundation.
Yes.
So I don't want to say it was easy, but let's just say the willingness was there to be open to what was already within me, just waiting to emerge to be receptive to undo in order to remember.
Yeah. So you didn't find that background created any difficulty for you. You were able to sort of branch out in your own direction.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I found it to be very rewarding because of my mother.
Yeah.
And so this is why the title of my first book is Return to the Light.
Right.
Because we truly have to return to what is real within us that we have forgotten.
I gather you've only just finished that book. Did it come out this year?
It's in the process. It's not quite out yet. but it's in the process, so it will be very soon.
Well, and since you've mentioned it, perhaps you'd like to tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Return to the Light, truly, Mike, is, it's an aid. It's a tool.
Yeah.
To assist and support others in bringing about a transformation in their own life based on spiritual principles and to live according to those principles. It is truly teaching us education for living.
Yes.
Because we've gone so totally contrary to what has been given to us. And so it truly is supporting and assisting us in remembering our true purpose, which is love.
Yes.
And allowing the mind to return to its natural state of love.
Yes.
And to awaken within us our divine faculties and to do what we came in to do, each and every one of us.
Yes.
So we have to undo in order to re-educate and remember.
Yes.
Because we have truly forgotten. But
yes.
As this,
when
you well know.
Yes.
As you well
when
know,
you
because...
Talk, yeah, carry on, yeah.
Because of this awakening that's taking place on this planet right now, it seems to have reached critical mass, and we all have to sort of step up and step out.
Yes. So, this event that's taking place, do you call that, as many are at the moment, ascension?
Yes, I definitely would say so. That is exactly what's going on. We are ascending. We descended into matter, this third dimensional universe, and we just simply forgot. And now we're waking up and we're ascending back home. So we're shifting out from a third dimensional dense reality to a higher state of consciousness.
Yes.
And as we go through, and as we go through this process, we truly have to be very gentle and compassionate with ourselves, because it is our awakening.
So,
we are awakening to what is real.
Yes. So, where do you believe this will take us? Where? What level?
Well, it will take us to where we belong, to a fifth or higher state of consciousness, where we can truly live reality, live the life we were created to live.
Okay, fine. Hello, we have a call. Are you there?
I am.
Oh, we can hardly hear you.
I haven't listened to your show before, so I'm not sure how this protocol works, but I was wondering if you would tell me.
Right. Did you hear the question, Veronica?
Very, very faint.
Right. We'll get our listener to repeat it. Would you repeat it? We didn't catch the first part of the question.
Sure. I have never tuned into your program before, so I'm not sure how your protocol works.
Right. That's fine. You are on now and it's live. Did you have a question in mind? Otherwise, you can address Veronica direct.
Hi, Veronica. I don't know how you work. Can you tell me a little bit before I ask my question?
Can I tell you a little bit about myself or the work?
No, about how this program works.
Yes, you can. Yes, carry on, yes.
Well, the program The program really is to remind us of what we are, connecting to the light, returning to the light. We are prisms of light, and we came into a physical universe. We came in to represent the light, but we have forgotten. We've fallen asleep in a dream, and now we are awakening from the dream. And remembering what we are. And in that remembrance is the true reality of life.
So am I remembering now? I mean, is that what you're saying?
Well, we cannot live a choiceless life. Every minute, every second, we're making a choice. So we're either choosing what is real or what is unreal. What is real is what we are. What is unreal is what we've made. So the more we keep choosing what is real, because reality is a quality or state of being real, and only what is loving is real. So if it's not a loving thought, it's not real.
Are you able to tell me if I have a loving thought or not?
Well, what we really have to do is, the responsibility is up to each and every one of us to pay attention to our thoughts and use discernment. Discernment is insight. It eliminates looking outside of ourselves. It is an internal process. It replaces judgment. And so we become more aware, more tolerant, more loving, more peaceful, because we're releasing what we thought was real and discovering that it's unreal. And we know according to how we feel. Our part is simply to release our attachments and to relate to what does not change. We live in a world, in a universe of form. It's a universe of cause and effect. The cause is the thought, the effect is the experience. What is form? That which is subject to change. What is truth? That what does not change. So where is our attention? On what is always changing, which is form, or what is changeless? That's reality.
Right. I wonder if our caller has heard all of that. Does that answer your question to some extent? Or has she left us already? Perhaps you'll continue then, Veronica. Tell us a little bit more about the book. How do you approach it at the beginning? I mean, how do you work up to this point where you help people to understand?
Well, Mike, as you know, it's a process that goes on. We're all evolving within ourselves.
Yeah.
And so we're developing, all of humanity, we're developing, we're growing, and we're expanding. So there comes a point in our lives, for many of us, those of us that are paying attention anyway, that there's got to be something else more than what my body's eyes are showing me. And to make a conscious decision to set the intention to look within. This is why we meditate.
Yeah.
We're meditating because we're going inward to what is real within us.
Right, yeah.
To release ourselves from all the doubts and uncertainty, and to harness our God-given energy of what is real.
Yes, yes. I see amongst your articles you've actually written about chakra balancing meditation. Do you feel that some of the blockages there can actually cause people major problems?
Yes. Yes. Our part is simply to allow the energy to flow uninterrupted. But because the mind is in such a state of its unnatural environment, we have to let go, trust, and be willing to recognize that my part is simply to allow. Simply to allow. To quiet my unquiet mind and lay aside all of the thoughts that I have made and my concepts of what life is, what love is, all concepts that I have learned about the world. To release those intellectual concepts and to be open to our immaculate concepts.
Yes. So, do you feel that people can readily restore the balance in meditation without actually realizing what they're doing, simply by stilling the mind?
Absolutely. The awakening is a gradual process that goes on within the mind, and what I have recognized, even in my own life and with many students that I work with, at some point we feel that nothing is happening. We keep practicing and practicing and practicing and nothing's happening. But it is happening at a deeper level within the mind, because there's so much that's been buried beneath the surface. We're just beginning to skim the surface.
Yes.
And dive deeper and deeper into the mind.
So our how would a person know that it was actually working when the centers were coming into balance?
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, how would a person know when the chakras were coming into balance? What would be their realization that it was taking place?
Well, we can feel the energy. It's a feeling within us. It's a knowingness. It's a sense of what I call aha. We have those aha moments.
Yes. Yeah.
And when we have those aha moments, we know something's going on the inside, and we're trusting in something that we cannot see with the body's eyes, but that something is going on the inside.
Yes. Yes. Okay, and I guess since you've mentioned it, that music would be a very good addition to the meditation itself.
Mm-hmm. Music is good for the soul, depending on the type of music.
Yes, exactly, yes. Yes. Well,
but it's good for the soul.
You can buy plenty of CDs that have music that's specially prepared for that purpose.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yes.
You know, Mike, we have so many tools that have here for us to use in order to support our return to the light. Our part is, are we using them? We have to be diligent and devoted in our practice. In fact, we cannot afford to miss a day. We have to practice diligently. And no one can do it for us, because the activation is within the heart of love.
Right. Now, you also mentioned empowerment circle ritual in connection with your studies of Native American beliefs. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about that as well.
I missed the question. Your voice is very faint. I'm pressing the phone against my ear.
Okay. Yeah. You've also mentioned in one of your articles about empowerment circle ritual. Apparently you studied Native American beliefs, and I wondered if you'd like to talk a little about that.
I don't think that was me.
Was that? Oh, all right. Mm-hmm.
No, I think that was someone else.
Oh, okay. Well, do you see any merit in that? Or doesn't that normally come into your way of thinking or working?
Well, you know, the fact is, Mike, that all of humanity right now is evolving. We're moving to the next step in our evolution. So regardless of the form of anyone's beliefs or the institutions or the organizations or the cultures that we come from. The fact is, we're all moving to the next level in our development, and it's a birthing that's taking place. And we have to understand that, as in any birth process, there is brief pain followed by great joy. And all of humanity right now is facing the results of our actions of the past.
Right, yes, yes.
We have done it. So our part is to face it and transmute it through the power of love.
Right, yes.
There's no other way.
I agree with that. You've based a lot of your lessons from, I believe, the book A Course in Miracles. Is that correct?
Yes.
I've seen some of your notes on that. Perhaps I could ask you one or two questions on how you use it, in as much that you say giving is all. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, to God, giving is all. Getting is meaningless. You know, many of us on this planet, we have these concepts that life is for taking, getting, and grabbing.
Yes, yes.
And it's not. Those are concepts that we've made up. Life is truly for giving. In fact, before we all came into this manifestation, what was whispered to us was, give, give, and keep on giving.
Yes.
Because your givingness is your joy.
Yes, yes. And I think you, in that sense, I think you have to give to actually receive, do you not?
Absolutely. Because in essence, it's the same. Because
yes.
As you give, yes, you're receiving. And since we're all one, you're giving to yourself.
Yes, yes.
So as
indeed.
You give, it comes back.
Yes,
universal
yes.
law.
Yes. You have gone on to say that when you believe something, you have made it true for you.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
We work with four basics. Spiritual laws. Intention, attraction, allowing, harmony and balance.
Yes.
Since thoughts rule creation, every thought we have is either of a higher vibration or a lower vibration. When we give from a consciousness of love, you're saying to the universe, I have, and I can give. And as I give, I will receive.
Yes.
Our primary purpose, Mike, on this planet, is to give.
Yes, yes.
And we can only give what we know we have to give.
Yes, yes. So this isn't obviously necessarily material giving. It's also of the self in other ways.
It's of the self, and it's of our thoughts, because
yes.
It's never about the form. We live in a world of form. It's never about the form. It's always the thought behind the form, because the thought is more powerful than the thing itself, whatever form the thing may take. It's the
yeah.
thought that's powerful.
Yeah. Well,
so when
say,
we can,
yes.
When we can give freely, knowing that the universe is abundant, I am abundant,
yes.
And I have that abundance, and I am allowing and I'm drawing that abundance into my life. When we think of the word abundance, most people think of money, But love is our abundance.
Yes, yes.
That is the abundance we have, because that is the abundance that was given to us. But we seem to have forgotten that. And so we are awakening to these concepts, these immaculate concepts, now. They've always been there. We've just forgotten.
So how does one cope with that idea? Because you could have so much pressure placed upon you to give and help in perhaps so many different ways that you couldn't actually do it. How do you moderate it or allow for what you can do?
Well, again, we have to use discernment. We have to know within ourselves of how we're being asked to use, because we have to understand within ourselves that there is an intelligence operating in this universe for good, and I am in alignment with this intelligence.
Yeah.
And I am simply allowing for this intelligence to direct my efforts where to go, what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that knowingness comes from within. And once that feeling is there, then you just simply step out to do what is being asked of you to do.
Yes, yes.
That's how my work and my life began to change with A Course in Miracles.
I made
a request to the universe. There's got to be something more than all of this.
Yes.
And this blue book with the gold writing came into my life. And I immediately recognized it as, this is what I've asked for, and I will use this tool to awaken my hidden potentials.
Yes, yes, indeed. If I could pick up something else that you mentioned in that respect, you said that the Course in Miracles indicates that you choose the feelings you experience. Now, a lot of people might not understand how that can be so.
Okay, we choose the feelings because the feeling comes from a thought.
Mm-hmm.
And our thoughts are either loving thoughts or fearful thoughts. So when the feeling is a sort of a uncomfortable feeling, there is a discomfort about it. That discomfort arises to bring the need for correction into awareness. And that correction can only take place in the mind. Because
that's
where we live, is in the mind. Life is experienced in the mind. So it's our duty, it is our obligation, our responsibility to pay attention to what's going on within us and honor those feelings, not to judge them as being right or wrong, good or bad, but just to pay attention to what is going on within you and then choose differently.
Yes. You mentioned about looking upon the world with forgiving eyes. That's a bit demanding, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, our part is to forgive, and to forgive is to give for, is to give it up for something else that's more valuable, something else that's going to give me a warm, fuzzy, comfortable, joyous feeling within myself.
Yeah.
But this forgiving causes, you know, keeps us in such distress. All distress is unforgiveness. We're not willing to let it go.
Yes, true.
We feel like we're losing something, and in fact, we're not losing anything, we're gaining.
yes, yes.
We like to think that our ideas are better than God's, but they're not, because look at where our ideas have gotten us.
Yes, indeed.
So
well,
it's time for
also,
us.
Yes?
It's time for us to say, okay, God, you're in charge.
Yes, indeed. Now, you did go on to say one of the parts of the lessons in this book, that a sense of separation from God is the only lack you really need to correct.
Yes.
You can talk about that if you wish.
Well, when we feel separated from the truth of what we are, we feel a sense of isolation, alienation, a sense of disconnect. We don't feel connected.
Mm-hmm.
And based on those, we go back to the feelings again. Based on those feelings, it is really nudging us to do our own internal inquiry and to begin asking the same questions I've asked myself 20 years ago. What am I and what am I on this planet to do? I want to know the truth.
Yeah.
So what I was really saying to the universe is, I want to end the separation and get to know myself. Because in that separation, I don't know myself. Mm. I have a self that I'm identifying with, that I have accepted as being real, and I think it's real because I accepted it as being real.
Yeah.
But if it were real, would I be depressed and deprived and feel alienated? No. So our part is to end the separation. See, God hasn't left us. We've wandered off in a world of illusions and deceptions.
Yes, yes.
And now we're just waking up and coming home. So I say, welcome home.
Indeed.
To our real home.
Well,
to our real home of light
indeed.
And love and wisdom.
Lovely, yes. Sounds very nice. You also went on to say that whenever you are afraid, you are deceived.
Whenever we are afraid, it's because we have chosen wrongly. We are deceived by the form, by the appearance of things. Appearances are very deceiving. And so we look at the appearance of things and we think, you know, it's real. They're deceiving because they are appearances and not reality. If it truly was reality, we would feel a sense of bliss within us.
Yes, yes.
A sense of rightness. No judgment. Just a sense of, it's right. We don't have to understand it. It just feels right. Because it is right.
How do you relate to that when the fear is, say, related to another person rather than a situation? Isn't that more difficult to overcome?
Can you repeat that again?
I was wondering how you relate that idea if the fear is related, say, to a person. How do you overcome the obstacle between you and that person in that case?
Well, we have to understand, Mike, that fear in the mind produces fear in our lives.
Mm.
Love in your mind produces love in your life. And if we're all here to end the separation and get to know the truth of what you are, of course, in Miracles teaches us, fear lies not in reality, but in the minds of children who do not understand reality. And reality is a quality or state of being real. So again, we go back to thought. It's always the thought that comes first.
Yes, yes. talking of something of that nature, you also mention the part in the book that refers to the fact that nothing can hurt you unless you give it the power to do so. So how do you not give it the power to do so?
Because there's nothing really going on outside of us. It's all going on the inside.
Yeah.
And it all has to do with our perception. We see what we want to see because,
right, yes.
because we think with thought and we see with thought. And so we see what our thoughts are projecting. Projection makes perception.
Yes.
So our part, if I really want to see the reality of what is, I have to embrace, not judge it, every experience that comes to me and allow for me to experience what I have to experience to bring me to an awareness to transform the thought,
transform
consciousness. We see everything, Mike, in fragmented pieces when we're floating on the surface of life.
Yes,
we're not seeing the whole. And then we try to put the pieces together. We cannot do it on the surface. We have to go beneath the surface. This is why we meditate, because we're diving deep, deep, deep into the mind.
Yes.
We're surrendering, actually. We're surrendering to the fullness of life.
Mm-hmm.
And coming out of the prison that we've put ourselves in. And once we've come out of that prison, we can remember to laugh. We've forgotten how to laugh.
Somehow.
We're children of love.
Yes.
We truly might. Mike, we truly have to release the things that prop us up.
Mm.
The things of time. Our selfish desires for material wealth has exceeded our spiritual advancement.
Yes. You're quite correct there. Final comment I'd like to make on some of your notes from this Course in Miracles, is the reference to attack will always yield to love if it is brought to love and not hidden from it.
What
does that refer to? Yeah?
Well, we attack because we're afraid. We attack because the mind is in a state of judgment. We attack because we don't know we are love. Love does not attack. Love knows itself. We attack out of lack of awareness. We attack because the universe of learning is saying, pay attention. But for many of us, we repeat the same mistake in a different form. We're not learning the lesson. There is only one lesson. Surrender to life. Life within us knows. Our part is open your mind, open your heart, and keep your hands empty. And God will fill it. You will be filled. It's his function to fill us.
Right.
You know, Mike, in the words of Gandhi, there's enough for everyone's need, but there's not enough for everyone's greed.
Oh, that's very clever. Yes, indeed. Okay, I'll leave my questions on that particular aspect. Just going back a little bit, the new book we've referred to, but you had written an earlier one, had you not, called Ungluing the Mind?
Yes, actually. There are two books in the process right now.
Oh, I see. That hasn't been issued either yet.
No, both of them are in the process of being released very soon.
Okay. Yeah.
Both of them really are the same concepts, just written in a different form, that it's time for humanity to awaken to what is real. Hello?
Yes, I'm here, yes.
Oh, okay. we are awakening to our natural power.
Yes.
And our natural power is love.
Yes.
Light. Wisdom. We came in with it.
Yes.
So we're transforming consciousness. Consciousness is God, conscious of itself, expressing itself in a world of form, the totality, the completeness, the allness of all there is, an energy field of love.
Hello. Do we have a caller at this moment?
Yes, hello.
Right. You can address Veronica because she's listening to you.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm CJ calling from California. And I wanted to just ask a question going back to what Ms. LeBerry was speaking about as far as giving. And because I also studied A Course in Miracles, I wanted her if she could just really go over a little bit more about that it's the speed at which we fly through life. And when we think about giving, we think it creates takes an enormous amount of our time and effort when every single moment that we're speaking to someone or when we're in the grocery store, wherever we are, everything we say and do is a form of giving. Is that not correct?
Yes. There again, because it's the thought. Are you giving from a consciousness of love? Or is your mind in a state of judgment? We have to understand that the basic compulsion of the mind is to judge. And to judge is to not know. And so if the mind is in a state of disconnect from the source that gave us life, then we're judging everything we see. When the mind is in its natural state, or you're awakening to your natural state, you're paying attention to your thoughts, and you're extending, you're giving, sending out thoughts of love. And as you give, you receive.
So then, I mean, what we're really doing is we're racing around in our own world and we're so caught up in our own space to what's transpiring around us that we never really, when we connect to someone, we never really connect to them. We just, we're perceiving them as to whatever's actually transpiring in our own lives.
Yes. We're seeing what we want to see because of our thoughts. And if we're not living in our natural state of mind, which is love, then what are we giving? We're identifying with a false image. We are extending fear. What is fear? False evidence that appears real. We have gone totally contrary to what has been given to us. No one's to blame. The responsibility is up to us. We've done it to ourselves, to others, and to the planet.
I have another question, and that's regarding fear and attack. And maybe you could explain a little bit further. I'm sure that maybe a lot of people feel the same way, is that what is it in us that, you know, when someone attacks us, that we instantaneously attack back? That, you know, what can we do to really slow that situation down and realize what's transpiring?
Every attack is a call for love. Every attack is because we have forgotten we are love. So every attack, did Jesus not say, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing"? It really has nothing to do with the error. It's an appeal to God to heal the mind. We have to admit we have sick thoughts, and it's our responsibility to transform those thoughts. But again, we have to look within. The external world has us mesmerized and in grips. You know, the Buddha was asked, "Are you an angel?" "No." "Are you God?" "No." "What are you then?" The Buddha smiled and answered gently, "I am awake." We have to wake up from the dream that life is something external to us. It's not.
Thank
we have
you.
To surrender to life and allow it to express through us. But first we have to dislodge the mind from its fixed position, because you're really crossing the bridge from fragmented consciousness to total consciousness. The Christ consciousness has no past or future. It only knows the now. Love is always present. We are absent. We need to be present to what is. What is? What is what I am. We are gods and goddesses. So we have to have a shift in the way we see the world, because the world represents your thoughts. As long as we're perceiving ourselves as bodies, we are going to keep experiencing fear, because the body's eyes see only error. We're seeing what is not truly there. When we shift our perception, in other words, turn our senses inward, we begin to see with spiritual sight and not physical sight. We begin to see our real thoughts that has always been there, just covered up. So there is another way of seeing with spiritual sight. But we are afraid of what spiritual sight will show us, because we're afraid of what we are. We're afraid of our power. Light is our natural power. That's a fact. You cannot dispute that. So we need to learn to perceive clearly by sight or by feeling, and realize that what you have made is not real. And so having a shift means transforming the thought. Change the thought, and your world will change. But this is not something that happens overnight. It's a gradual process that goes on within the mind. And the more we practice, the faster we will accelerate. But we must be diligent in our practice. We've all heard, those of us that are on the spiritual path, let your eye be single, and your whole body will be filled with light. Because in every one, you are seeing the reflection of what you would have them be to you. They're showing you you, the image, the mirror effect. Because you live according to the state your mind is in. It's an outside picture of an inner world, an inner condition. Perception is a result. It's not a cause. So our part is to change your upside down perception because it's ruining your peace of mind. Hello?
I wonder if that, is our caller still there? Oh, she appears to have gone, Veronica.
Okay.
But that
you know,
was
Mike, there's a question we really need to ask ourselves as we move along on this journey of ours. And we need to ask ourselves, how do I know if I'm making progress?
Good question, yes.
So you ask yourself, am I more loving? Am I more tolerant? Am I less judgmental? Am I less provoked? Do I have more energy? And am I free from the conditioning of fear, anger, and greed?
Right. I think that's a very helpful advice. Now, Veronica, we're heading towards the end of the program. We've got about 2 or 3 minutes left. I think it would be a good idea at this stage to give our listeners your website address, and perhaps you could tell them also whether you're open to receive emails at all.
Yes, I am open to receive emails, and it's labarriretreats@yahoo.com. labarriretreats. Labarri Retreats, all one word, at yahoo.com. And the website is www.newreality.com.
Okay. I will put these up on my archive report. So if anyone misses it, they will get an opportunity to read it off the BBS radio web. So if people want to follow this up with you, what do you actually do at the Labarri Retreats? Do you hold workshops, or what's the format there?
I do meditations, one-on-one support, group support, lectures, retreats, everything that is needed to support them.
Right, okay.
In their spiritual quest.
And that's all in Corona, is it?
Yes.
Right, okay, fine. I'm going to have to actually stop you there, Veronica, because we've rapidly come to the end of the program, and you're certainly very conversant with the Course of Miracles. It's very nice to hear you express your ideas about that, and you certainly know your own subject very well. Thank you very much for coming on to the program. I'll announce next week's guest for our listeners, and then we will be finished. It is not confirmed at the moment. I'm waiting for a reply, but I'm hoping to have back Jock Brockers, who was with us at the end of last year. He's psychic sensitive who uses his sixth sense, strangely enough, in the form of security work, and he has actually worked as an international security consultant, and he's worked in undercover intelligence, police intelligence, and things of that nature. So he's quite an interesting person. So I hope all is well. If you want to check on that, I won't put the information onto BBS until I've had confirmation back. So thank you very much for all being with me. Hope you can be with me next week. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.